Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, pop culture, and creator tea, because at the end of the day, everything is an ad. I am coming to you live from our podcast lounge at one of our biggest events of the year, Social Media Week, with our guest, the fabulous creative writer, speaker, Jade Powell.
Period. Thank you. That was a wonderful welcome. Hello, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. I'm excited to have you. I've been a fangirl since like marketing Twitter days.
Oh,
you know?
Throwback.
Yes,
love that.
Throwback before, I like to say like BE before Elon.
Yes.
Jade, I've just always seen your content pop up. And, you know, for our listeners though, can you give us a quick hit overview of all the things that you do? Because you are like a Swiss Army knife.
Yes, a multifaceted individual.
Yes.
So I do a couple of things. I own my own agency, a content and creative development agency called the M-Co. Mm-hmm. And that's where I work with brands and agencies to just develop really cool content, strategies, creative concepts. I also run a show on LinkedIn called Creator Tea Talk, where I speak to marketers, influencers, creators about all things relating to the creator economy that can, you know, start anywhere from UGC content creation, how to get into it, or AI, or even mental health advocacy for creators. And then I also co-found a cannabis media company called Weed for Black Women with my co-founder that's all about a love for Black women in the cannabis industry.
Yes.
So that's my wrap.
Oh my gosh. Are you tired?
A bit.
No, but that's amazing.
Pushing.
Yes. And you were also in our 2023 Creative 100 class.
I was.
Yeah, now
Thank
I see
you for
why.
That. Yes.
So I was scrolling, like doing the prep work for this, and I was researching and I was scrolling through your site, and I just like, even just scrolling through, I got such a strong sense of who you are.
Thank you.
Of your voice, your work style, your business approach. And you just touched on this a little bit with Sammy on stage, but I'd love to hear any advice you have on those of us who may be on our journey to solidify personal brand.
Honestly, I want to say that like what I feel the majority of the success of my personal brand has come to is really feeling grounded in who I am. And I feel like it has allowed me the space to just be free and be as unapologetic as I want to be on any platforms that I show up in or even out in the real world. And it took me a minute to get there. I think working through my career, I lost a lot of my confidence, especially working in corporate America, where it can be a bit tough to survive in those environments. But I think ultimately, coming out of it and finding my own space and realizing how I wanted to show up in the world, redefine what professionalism looks like, and then also show up in the way that I wanted to really helped me kind of solidify my brand presence. And I think what people kind of resonate with when they do follow me is this, you know, semblance of, if I'm following this woman and this is who she is online, this is exactly what she's going to get in real life. And I think people are often like comforted by the fact that I am who I say I am.
Yes. Yeah. Like I feel comfortable in your presence because I just knew I was getting what I saw.
It's the Pisces energy.
Yes.
Love a girl.
So many Pisces in my life. Now I totally get it. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey in life leading up to this moment? Because to be a content creator and have the expertise that you have a lived experience that shows up in your work.
Yeah.
So how has that played a role in your creativity, like your culture, mentors, you know?
Yeah. So honestly, a lot of the work that I've been doing has been mental health work. I think very early on, like I was saying, I started off in corporate and was just kind of figuring out my way. I started off as a social media intern and I was working for a couple of agencies before I switched off to the brand side. And I think once I got up to the brand side, that kind of enlightened me to what corporate culture is. And I think a lot of the like politicking in corporate culture and, you know, constantly having to prove why you deserve a raise and promotion. I was also often the only Black person on my team or the only person of color on my team, which I feel like impacted me a lot and left me with a lack of confidence. So I think in my mental health work, you know, speaking with a therapist, making sure I'm prioritizing myself, learning how to establish boundaries at work, advocating for my own well-being.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
Allow me to be a little bit more free in who I am and feel more comfortable. And I think it positioned me to go off on my own. So in my last role, I was a head of social at a beverage brand. And I think ultimately I was like, I don't really feel happy here. Like I thought I would be here for a while, but I was like, I think I'm just going to take a leap and trust in myself and know that I will get myself where I need to be. And then that's when I decided to go off on my own and start my own agency. And it has just opened my doors as a content creator, just working with brands in so many capacities. And I'm really loving what I do now.
Yeah. And you have to be so self-disciplined too, because you're your own boss and you're making your own business everything. Have you found that part like a little difficult?
Honestly, no. As much as I hated corporate America, it taught me a lot of survival skills, to be honest. Like, I think being a content creator is wonderful, especially from the creative standpoint. But I find what is a selling point for me is the fact that like I know how to run a business. And a lot of that has come from skills of seeing how different brands and businesses run in the real work experience that I've had previously. So, you know, how to build out strategic campaigns, but also understanding what the budget looks like. And then also project management. Like I'm very good at like staying on top of my emails, timelines. Like that is my bread and butter. I'm also very type A. So it just works out for me in that way. And I think when you marry the business skills with the creative, it like forms a really great partnership with the people that you're working with.
For sure. So, I mean, you have such an impressive portfolio now. You're here, you're recognized, you know. And so for the brands that lost you, you know, talent, they missed out. There's a very big talent retention problem in corporate America right now, specifically for people of color. And by people of color, I mean anyone who is not white. What advice do you have for those brands and those employers on how they can retain talent?
Yeah, you actually really have to invest in making sure that those people feel safe at work, because I think that's what really comes up in conversations that I have with other creators who are people of color, immigrants, queer, with disabilities, whatever that looks like. It's like we need to foster an environment where people feel comfortable going to their managers to talk about issues. Like that's something I felt like I really had a hard time with, because it's almost like this kind of hush-hush nature. And I'll give an example. I remember I was working on a social media campaign, and even though I advised against posting something, my vice president at the time was like, post it anyway. And I was like, okay, don't listen to the social creator, fine. But I posted it and we got a lot of negative responses, which I expected. And the VP lashed out on me, was like cursing at me in an email. And although executive leadership was all CC'd on that email, no one said anything. So no one advocated for me, which felt really shitty, to be honest. But I also think that has been a part of my journey, learning to advocate for myself when no one else will. And I think finding community in those spaces is important. But again, it's also about fostering an environment where people feel safe at work, making sure there's like, you know, check-ins, resource groups that people have access to, and then ensuring that, you know, you're creating a space where people actually feel comfortable talking about those things.
Right. So safe space, support, advocacy, those are key. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be.
It would be.
Maybe I'll return to corporate America. We'll see.
Well, I like your take on it, because we had DeAndre Brown on here yesterday, and he also pokes fun at these like antiquated norms in the workplace. And it's kind of, you know, we're all like laughing and making jokes, but there's like truth to this.
It's very like, I think antiquated is like a great way to describe it. And I feel like it's not reflective of now. Like even something as simple as me having purple hair and having a canvas leaf nose ring is seen as offensive to people and may not seem professional, but I'm like, we need to challenge what our ideas of professionalism is, because me having purple hair and a canvas nose ring has absolutely nothing to do with the work that I'm able to produce and the quality of work that I'm able to produce. And I think the people that have worked with me know that, and that's why I choose to work with them. But I've definitely had runs with people who are just like, make preconceived notions about who I am because of how I look. And I'm just like, that's not on me. That has everything to do with you. So I just don't want to work with you. And yeah, that's that.
Oh, I love it. It's yeah, so empowering. And I love the hair.
Thank
I
you.
Love the purple hair.
I tried. Shout out to the African aunties. They did it.
And that's what I love about this event too. Like, everybody here, it's just like creative, you know, everybody's like not even dolled up, but like, you yeah, know, wearing really cool stuff. And yeah, it's just such a good creative expression.
Absolutely.
And I feel like you're in your element here too.
Yeah, I feel it. Thank yeah, you. Yeah.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Okay, so this is what we have this question that we're asking all our podcast mm-hmm. guests. There was a fake creator ad from a brand mm-hmm. called Get Dirty last mm-hmm. week, which was created using a deep fake app called Arcad.
Okay.
How do you think AI and deep fakes will impact the creator economy?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I look at AI and deepfakes a little bit differently. So AI, from a creative standpoint, I think is helpful because I feel like it's integrated in a lot of the tools and platforms that I'm already using to develop creative. So it's helping me be a more efficient writer. It's making me a more efficient video producer, a photographer, a designer, what that looks like. So when it's incorporated into my tools, like, you know, Grammarly, Canva, I love it. Deepfakes, I don't fuck with that. Those are they're very scary to me, honestly. Yeah. And I think it can be very harmful, especially with people with bad intention. So while I understand why, like, someone, you know, a brand may feel like it's like on the cutting edge of technology and we're just exploring new technology, which I feel like is necessary for the industry to grow, you have to be mindful of like what that looks like. And I don't know if there has been like any boards or policies around ethics in AI, but I feel like that's a conversation to be had, just because it can be a little bit of tricky territory. And I'm in the mindset of like, if you need to be deceptive towards your consumers to get them to understand your brand, it's not a great concept.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is a truth bomb if yeah. I've ever heard it. Yes. Yes, for sure. You know that there's this role about the chief AI officer, and there's a lot of talk yeah. around it. And I think some of the big brands are starting to invest. So I think yeah. this falls into their remit.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm so curious. This is a fun one because mm-hmm. I've just been throwing
these. They've all been fun. Okay.
I'm so curious when it comes to creators. Like, what's on your social feed this week? Do you yeah. have a way of sorting out content for research and, like, content for pleasure? How yeah. do you handle it?
I find that my content for pleasure informs the content that I create for, like, social strategies and my campaign work. So there's absolutely no separation, but I am an aggressive creator follower. That's like the majority of my timeline. It's actually funny because back in January, I was doing like a mental health reset. So I unfollowed everyone that I was following on Instagram because I was just like, I want newness. I want to be following people that inspire me. And a lot of those people have been creators and influencers. One of the accounts that I follow is that of Skylar Marché. And she's an incredible creative. And I love, like, she does a lot of like fashion and travel content. But what I love is that she puts a lot of visual thought into it, everything from song choices to how she writes her scripts to what she's incorporating into her visuals. And then I also really love following cannabis brands because cannabis is like a very niche community. Yeah. But I think even within cannabis, there's like pockets, smaller pockets of communities within them. So you get kind of get to see like the different flavors that are like melding into these like different worlds of creators and influencers, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And now I have to go follow those creators.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Great.
And then, so you just touched on this a little bit, but because you follow cannabis brands, but, and this is part of your own portfolio being in the cannabis space.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a very small minority, like within this space, especially like Black women.
Absolutely.
So what have you learned? What can you share with us? And why did you want to explore this space?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, a couple of years ago, I was working for a cannabis company as their social lead. And in that time, not only was I getting education around cannabis products and the cannabis plant, I was also learning a lot about how cannabis was impacting people's lives and then how consumers talk about cannabis. And ultimately, I left the industry just because I felt like that representation wasn't there, despite Black and brown people being the ones that are most impacted by the war on drugs. You know, we see these multi-billion dollar corporations that are being run by straight white men, and there's like a disconnect there. So you don't see a lot of that opportunity for Black and brown people to be investing in the cannabis industry. So ultimately, I think in starting Weed for Black Women, for example, that was a community we wanted to create because we wanted Black women specifically to know it's not just about being a consumer of cannabis, like in smoking weed. Like, I celebrate that, but it's not just about
we
that.
We support it. Yeah.
We support it. But it's not just about that. It's also making investment in the industry. So starting your own dispensaries, working on the brand side, you can be a marketer and working cannabis. You can be a lawyer and working cannabis and making sure that people understand that there's a multitude of opportunities there aside from just being a cannabis consumer.
Yeah, no, for sure. Oh my gosh, you're like schooling me today. I love this. And you just touched on this a little bit upstairs too on the main stage. Great session, by the way.
Thank
that
you.
Was so
it was
fun.
So fun.
It was so fun. You guys were in your element. Any creator trends you see fizzling out or any trends you see on the horizon?
Okay, so this is when I've been pushing my agenda on. One, because I've experienced it myself and I'm also seeing more roles pop up. But I think a lot of brands are going to be pulling in creators in-house, which I really love for full-time roles instead of just in like a contract capacity. Because I think as social is like becoming a more popular digital marketing platform, I think there is a need for like social specific type of content. So it's not just, you know, having strategists and copywriters on a team. Like, we need a content creator who's a little bit encompassing all of those roles that can actually create social first content. And I recently actually was in a role where I was a senior content creator, and that's what I was focused on. Like, we had a creative team working on ad campaigns, but I was there like, okay, what is the social content going to look like? Because I think it's a little bit of a different space. Like, yes, you can get a designer to like create assets or a videographer to create reels or TikToks. But I think someone who's a content creator for social, like, knows social really well and knows the nuances of the platforms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how can I feel like there might be, so if creators are presented with this opportunity, you know, I know that a big thing for creators is having creative control, you
Absolutely.
Know, when they work with brands. So what other advice can you give brands on how to make this particular role successful? Because I think you're onto something for sure.
Yeah, I think money.
Money,
Because one thing I have also noticed in those roles is that they're paying really low. Mm-hmm. But I also think that kind of encompasses the work of social and where people position it in their minds. Like, they think it's like the job of an intern or someone very low level, but it's not. It's like a very qualified job that requires numerous years of experience as well. But also providing the tools and resources that they need. Like, whether those be digital platforms that they're using to create this type of content, or having a team of like writers, creative directors, people that they can like really brainstorm ideas with. I think that is what has been missing in social, is just really having a team support of people who can help come up with these concepts and bring them to life on social.
Right. Because it can't just be the one person like holding the phone and then creating the content and all that.
I literally need marketing and advertising to release us from the shackles of a one person social team or a one person content team. Like, it makes no sense at this stage.
No. And it's not sustainable. It's not good for the business. I'm with you, sister.
Absolutely.
Well, what's next? I know a bunch of us probably follow you and everything, but anything that you want us to keep a lookout for?
Yeah, Creator Tea Talk episodes. I'm gonna be wrapping up second season really soon, and just keep following me on LinkedIn for updates there, or subscribe to the newsletter Loose Leaf, as I like to call it.
Yes.
And then also just be on the lookout for more stuff in the cannabis industry. 420 is coming up, so I'm really excited for the content I'm gonna be pumping out.
Yes, keep us posted. Yeah. We want to be up in the know about everything you're doing. And thank you so much. You are so enjoyable.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.